God bless each one of you that are stepping forward and offering your talents and gifts for the Lord and to bless others. Praise God. You know, today is September 11th, and that's significant for many reasons. One that has already been mentioned by Pam. Very meaningful thoughts, and thank you for sharing that, Pam. It is also our second to the last Sunday to be with you in this segment of time. Next Sunday will be our last Sunday with you for a period of time until we meet again. And we're so thankful for your kindness and your receiving of ourselves. And you'll hear more about that later. Matter of fact, you might even get to hear from Vicki next week a little bit. Now, if that doesn't bring in a crowd, I don't know what will. I love my wife, Vicki, and we spent the first 5 years of our married life and ministry life right here in Ottawa, Illinois, and for that we're grateful. I told Pastor John Sr. just a bit ago, and I meant it with all my heart, thank you for the blessing of allowing us to be here. And I say blessing because I told John Jr. before I agreed to come, so what I need to have is the blessing of your father, the founder of this church. And I do receive that, and I appreciate that very, very much. We left back in 81, after 5 years of ministry in this house. It wasn't in this location. It was Post and Prairie and McKinley Road, and then a little bit in the YMCA. So we're happy for the transformation that has taken place in this house. It didn't happen overnight. It didn't happen in a few days or a few weeks. It didn't happen by just one or two people doing it all. It happened over a good span of time and a lot of folks putting their shoulder to the wheel and sacrificing and being faithful and dedicated. People like you who are here today. My hat and my heart goes off to you, and my heart goes out to you in thanking you for the way you have blessed LaSalle County and this region, specifically the city of Ottawa, and interacted with other believers in this community, and to embellish and to proclaim the glory of the Lord in the land. Praise God. And so today, I've got so many notes, I don't know which direction to go, so I'm really, again, trusting Holy Spirit to give us some direction and guidance. We're looking at Matthew chapter 17. We've been using the Gospel Project since right after Easter. We've been walking through this Gospel Project, looking at the life of Jesus in order so that our life can be in order. And we're just going to continue with that today. I trust this has been a blessing to you as we've unpacked a few things. Haven't been able to touch on everything. My. There's so much to be said about the word and ministry of Jesus Christ. Even John, the writer of the gospel, John, said the books, there wouldn't be enough books in the world to contain all that Jesus has done. And so for us to try to pretend that we would cover all aspects of Jesus' life and ministry in this brief period of time, it's very unrealistic and very, very impossible. But you have been very attentive and very gracious in receiving the word, and we want to just continue for the next two Sundays anyway, as we continue in the Gospel Project, and we're going to transition a little bit next Sunday. So Matthew chapter 17, and we're going to look at verses 1 through 5 to begin with. And let's pray before we read the word. Amen. Father, we just bless you today. Thank you for this good, good house. Thank you for the good hearts that you've brought together, that have assembled themselves, friends in the house, friends that love each other and love you. And we just pray today that you would feed us sufficiently, feed us with food that is convenient for us, specifically designed for our diet and what our heart needs today. So we pray you'd bless this in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. Amen. Matthew chapter 17, verse 1 through 5, read this way. Let's read it together. After 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter, James, and John, the brother of James, and led them up a high mountain by themselves. There he, Jesus, was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun. His clothes became as white as the light. Just then, there appeared before them Moses and Elijah talking with Jesus. Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it is good for us to be here." Amen. Let's go back to that last phrase. And Jesus was transfigured before them. Have you ever had times in your life when things just lined up and just like, wow, I needed that just right now? Have you ever had situations like that? Things that kind of confirm that you're either on the right track or you're off track majorly. I've shared a few experiences of ours here in our time with you. One of them that stands, few of them that stand out is when we were here in Ottawa. One of the last things we did in 1981 was a 5-year anniversary. We did the, what was the name of that drama we did? It was called Act Three, I believe it was. And Vicki and I played some roles in that drama. And we were, the context of that drama was a young couple struggling with their life. What are we going to do with our life? And suddenly they were a little bit taken back by the Holy Spirit speaking to them about going into full-time ministry. And they were a little bit reluctant to talk to each other about it because they didn't know how the other was going to take it. And about the same time all this was going on, we had the privilege of speaking with a leadership team in a church in Minnesota that was looking for a pastor. We had a conversation with John about what was going on, and he graciously just nodded his head, and knowing that what that might mean for the local work if we were to leave. And so we went up there and had some time with that leadership team and that church, and came back and didn't know what was going to happen out of all that. Felt good about all stuff that was happening there. And so we got back into the grind of the local work and practicing for this drama on Founders. Is it called Founders Weekend in November when you get together? And so back in 1981, and we were practicing on getting ready for that for the coming weekend. And we got to a point in our interaction with our lines. And Vicki and I were kind of wondering, what is going to happen with Mankato and Minnesota? What's happening here in Ottawa? And we're doing our lines, and in the transcript and the drama, the two characters were saying, "I just need to tell you something. The Lord's been speaking to me about going into full-time Christian service." And the character looks at his wife and says that, and then she turns to him and puts down her dish towel and says, "I know he's been speaking to me too." And as soon as she said that word in the script of the drama, the telephone rang. And who do you think was on that telephone call but the leader of the church in Mankato to affirm that full-time Christian service is what we're asking of you in Mankato. So that particular time, you know, it's like one of those things that happen where you say, "Now that couldn't have been arranged any perfecter than that," if there is such a word as perfecter. But it was perfect how that actually happened. Well, so then progress of time, we moved from Ottawa saying tearful goodbyes, but yet filled with a little anticipation. I was going home to a church that was similar to this, our church here in Ottawa, but it was my home town, and so going back was exciting and yet challenging. I felt like there was a lot of unfinished business in my life at the time, and so God was using this opportunity for us to minister as well as be ministered to. Well, after 11 years, we felt like the Lord was stirring our pot again, asking us to go someplace else and do something different. And so just as we were praying into those particular issues, we were wondering, what should we do? Is this right for us to leave? And then out of nowhere, I think I've shared this story with you earlier on in our time with you in recent weeks, a realtor calls up and says, "Mike, this is so-and-so from Midwest Realty." I forget her name. Was it Dorothy? I forget her name. From Midwest Realty, she says, "I just have a quick question for you. I have a minister that's moving from Dallas, Texas, up here to Mankato, Minnesota, and he was driving through town looking in neighborhoods, and he drove by your house, and he called me up, and I said, would you call him and see if they would be willing to sell their house?" Our house was not on the market. And so I took that phone call, and I said, "You don't know how significant your call is right now. give me 24 hours and I'll get you an answer back. And so, you know, things like that, that have you had stuff happen like that where it's like the alignment of what is stirring in your heart and there's something that happens that gives you a reassurance that everything is going to be okay. Everything is going to be okay. And then there was a time when we left Mankato to go to Janesville, Wisconsin. I was seeking God for the direction for our lives there in Janesville. And I went to the park. You remember this story I shared a little bit ago? I went to the park and I was praying. It was a cloudy day, praying, God, show me what you want for Janesville, Wisconsin. Why are we here? And as I'm praying, I look up, lift up my head and look, and here the clouds are spinning in a circular rotation in a vortex, and the blue sky was opening up over me. You know, I tell you what, I don't tell too many people that because it just seems so weird and it seems so perhaps misunderstanding. You know, you'd be misunderstood by sharing a story like that. But you know what? For me, it was like, God, you did that just for me. Though no one else was around, that was just for me. Thank you for that. And it gave me gas and fuel in my spirit to move forward with what I've been contemplating. Now, does God always do that in every situation? No. Matter of fact, most of the time, you don't see stuff like that. You don't have stuff like that happen. And so it was with these people in Matthew chapter 17. Jesus calls them Peter, James, and John, takes them up to a mountain. And while they're on the mountain, Peter, James, and John have been through this before. Jesus takes them aside and says, come and pray with me. And so they were acclimated to this environment of going up to the mountain and praying. And Luke chapter 9 says, gives us an implication that it must be evening because they fell asleep. And as they're sleeping, Jesus is there. And they wake up and there's Jesus being transfigured. Now the word transfigured in this case means metamorphosis or metamorpho. He actually changes his in his appearance, and the scripture says that his clothing began to glow, his face began to glow, and Peter and John and James see that, and it's like, what is all that? You see, something was going on in Peter, James, and John's heart. You can probably count on it because in the previous chapter, Jesus was laying out the terrain for the rest of his life on earth. And he was saying, it is a must that I, the Son of Man, will suffer at the hands of the religious leaders. And I, the Son of Man, am going to suffer and die at the hands of wicked men. And he began to tell the details of, and that's where Peter says, Lord, that will not happen to you. And that's when Jesus said, what last week? Get behind me, Satan. That's not true. It's not, you do not desire the concerns of God, but just you're looking after earthly human concerns. And so Peter was shaken. James and John were shaken by that reality that Jesus was sharing. It sounded pretty ominous and somber. And what are we doing with our life? And then Jesus calls them up on the mountain and transfigures. In other words, shows them his glory. Do you think Peter, James, and John needed something like that about that time? I think there was something that really encouraged them at that particular time as Jesus was transfigured. And I, you know, it's kind of like what was happening in the Old Testament with the tabernacle and the temple. There was a big curtain drawn that separated the holiest place from the holy place. And only into the holiest place could the high priest go once a year. And it was there that only the high priest could ever enter. No one else, no other priest, no other human being was allowed into the Holy of Holies, the holiest place. As in the tabernacle, so in the temple. And when Jesus died on the cross, Matthew chapter 25 say? What is that scripture? Could you pull that up for us real quickly? 27. At that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. Top to bottom. Not bottom to top, but top to bottom. The earth shook. The veil was torn, the earth shook, the rocks split, the tombs broke open, and bodies of holy people who had died were raised to life. A lot happened at Jesus' death on the cross. And what Peter, James, and John were experiencing, I do believe that it was a pulling back of the veil for just a moment. Philippians and Paul talks about he took on him the form of a servant, laying aside all of the beauty and glory and magnificence of his divinity and his deity. He took on the form of a servant, took on a veil. And for just a moment, I do believe that that veil was pulled aside for them to see the glory that Jesus possessed, that he truly was the Son of God. And it's interesting that Elijah and Moses show up talking with Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration. Would you like to have been near that conversation, eavesdropping a little bit? I think it would have been rather magnificent. Several things come at us from that. Number one, we know that Jesus was not Elijah because there's Elijah standing next to him. So Jesus wasn't just a good prophet. He was the Son of God. And then there's Moses. And Moses, Luke tells us that Moses and Jesus were talking about Jesus' departure. In other words, how he was going to leave this earthly environment. And that included his death, burial, resurrection, and ascension. And that was significant because, you see, Moses and Elijah represented all of the Old Testament. The law and the prophets bring us to Christ. And so Moses and Elijah are standing there, and they're having a conversation. Jesus telling him, I can hear it now, Moses, you said in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 25, that if you follow all of the law, all of the time, all of your life, every little bit, that will be righteousness for you. How many people have succeeded, Moses? How many people have been able to do that, Moses? And Moses goes, from my recollection, zero. None righteous, no, not one. And Jesus says, well, Moses, I'm almost done with what I'm doing here on earth, and I have kept every bit of the law. There's not been one part of the law that I have not obeyed. All of my life, every day of my life, I have kept and obeyed the law. And Moses says, oh, amazing. What are you going to do with that? And Jesus probably said something to the effect, it's for those who will put their faith in my work. I will transfer. We're going to read about that. Romans chapter 3. What is Romans chapter 3? Do we have Romans chapter 3 handy? Oh, okay. Well, Romans chapter 3 tells us that there is a righteousness apart from the law that comes through faith in Jesus Christ. And so Jesus and Elijah and Moses have a conversation. And then a voice from heaven says, this is my beloved son. This is my special son. This is my only son. Listen to him. Listen to him. You see, Old Testament law was about performance. Religion always demands methods, measurements, and performance. You can write that down. Religion requires methods, measurements, and performance to gauge how well you're doing. But relationship is based upon and is an invitation to trust and to belong. Relationship is an invitation to trust and belong. Which do you think Jesus came to provide? Did Jesus come to establish a new religion, or did he come to establish a relationship? Jesus came indeed to establish a relationship so that you too could join the generations of Jesus Christ and be a son or daughter of the Lord, possessing his righteousness, not through my own works, as hard as I might try all kinds of methods and measure myself and say, well, I kind of did pretty good today. Yesterday was a pretty bad day. I guess I failed. And so we get under either an ego trip for doing good, or we get under shame and guilt and condemnation for failing. And usually it's failing, right? But the voice from heaven on this day said, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. Hear him. Listen to him. Don't listen to what religion, that's what Moses represents. Don't listen to religion. Don't listen to works and self-righteousness. Listen to my son who is righteous in every way. I like what Peter said. We're going to have to wrap up here soon. I like what Peter said. He said, for we did not follow cleverly devised stories when we told you about the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ in power, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. He received honor and glory from God the Father. When the voice came to him from the majestic glory saying, this is my son whom I love, with him I am well pleased. Then in Matthew chapter 17, Peter said, after experiencing all of this glory, experiencing that Moses and Elijah and hearing them have a conversation, Peter says, this next phrase says, it is good for us to be here. It is good for us to be here. I tell you what, it is good for you to be here. 21 years ago, on this day, about this time in the morning, we were on our way back from Milwaukee. On our way to Milwaukee to take care of some business, Vicki and I and our daughter Bethany were in the car, turned on the radio and heard the tragic news. Oh, an airplane flew into what? A skyscraper in New York. That seems rather bizarre. Perhaps it's an accident. Perhaps it was an oversight. Perhaps it was just one of those things. And then we listened further, and then there was another plane that slammed into the Pentagon. And with that, my heart said, it is not good that I'm right here. I need to get home. I need to turn this car around. So we made phone calls and says, we're not coming. This is what's taking place. And we're heading back to Janesville. And so what we needed to do was get back home because of the uncertainty of the time that we were experiencing then and there. You remember those moments, don't you? Got home in time to see that second plane come into that tower. And we were just glued to the news that day and saddened in our heart. But it was so much better for us to be home. It was so good for us to be home. And folks, when there's difficulty and challenge and question about all so many things in your life and mine, there is no better place to be than in the presence of the Lord. In the presence of the King of Kings. Galatians chapter 4 verse 19 says, oh my dear children, I feel as if I'm going through labor pains for you again, and they will continue until Christ is fully developed in your lives. You see, right now, you are experiencing a transfiguration. There's a series of transfigurations and transformations that take place in our life. Even says so in the card near you. Life transformations, plural. You have many transformations where God shows you how you can trust him, how more deeply you can have a relationship with him as you stand in his presence, as Christ is formed inside of us. As we trust him and listen to him and receive teaching and guidance and counsel, God gives you opportunities where you can say, oh, it is so good for me to be here. It has been so good for Vicki and I to be a part of this work right here in Ottawa. It's just been such a good thing for us because it's allowed us to reconnect in ways that we thought were not going to happen. But here we are standing with you today, and we're just feeling in our spirit, oh, it's so good to be in His presence and to be in this place right now. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, let me read some verses to you. It says, even to this day when Moses is read, a veil covers their hearts. I'd like the worship team, would you get ready to come on up and help us out? Even to this day when Moses is read, a veil covers their hearts. But whenever anyone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. A lot of things we don't understand about God, but the minute you put faith in Him, all of a sudden it's like lights go on. Things that made no sense before all of a sudden make sense simply because you have entered beyond the veil. Whenever anyone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. And you know the Lord's leading your life. Kitzmans, I'm blessing you today. It's so good to stand with you here this morning. I'm believing with you that God's going to guide you and reassure you in the steps that you're taking, that He's going to connect you with just the right people. Anticipate that to happen. Anticipate Him showing you affirmations along the way. Because the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. I admire the way you folks, like so many others, have put yourself out to serve in the house and serve the people and serve the greater community of Ottawa. In verse 18, and we all who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory, we are being transformed into His image with ever increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. This past week, we lost a queen. And it's admirable to listen to her life story and to know that for 70 years, her main focus was to serve the people. She felt she was there for the people and was there for the people, and proved that time and time again by many of her actions and words. And you know, the Lord has given you and I royalty as well. And just as she served for the good of others, just as she offered herself on a regular basis, you and I can do the same. You say, well, she had the benefit of the royal family, the royal archives. She had the benefit of the royal resources. Let me remind you that as a son and daughter of the Lord, you are a prince and princess of royalty, and you too have access to unlimited resources in the royal storehouses of heaven. God's promise is that you trust Him, you bring your gifts to Him, whether they're physical gifts of time, talent, or if you bring treasure of dollars or things of value. God says, try me. I'm going to open those windows of heaven and pour out upon you a blessing so big that there won't be room enough to receive it. That's God's promise for you. So would you stand with me right now? God is calling you today to a closer relationship with Him. He's in this house, and this is a good place to be. Like Peter, Lord, when we leave this gathering today, may that be resonating in our heart that it has been good for us to be here. It is good for me to be in the small group. It is good for me to be at this house. It's good to be for me to be with these people, because this is where life is. And so, Father, let's bow and pray. Father, we thank You today for the extreme measures You have taken by providing Jesus Christ as our fulfillment of righteousness for us, that on our behalf he suffered and died and gave himself for us that we might live and survive and thrive in our day to be an example for him. Lord, I just pray that you bring affirmation and signs and wonders that follow us. Praise you, Lord, for the work that you're doing in each individual life. If you'd like to receive personal prayer today before you go, over here in this section of the front, a team of people will be happy to pray with you about any particular need you might have. God bless you. God keep you in Jesus' name.